You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I'm your storyteller, Carmen.
Crime Weaver Tyler.
I'm Gordy, a scholar of pistory.
I knew you would pick that one.
Thank you, Olwen.
As soon as I read it, I knew.
You knew.
Had big Gordy energy.
Pistory. As I drink yellow Gatorade.
I wasn't going to say it, but it is on brand.
Apparently so. Great. This is What the Folklore, a show, get this out of the way, show about folklore.
Yeah,
ostensibly.
Yeah.
Kind of, sort of. Carmen,
a show near folklore.
It's an archive of sorts.
It is an archive.
Of sorts.
Of our own. Carmen's going to read a weird fairy tale or piece of folklore to me and Tyler. We've never heard it before. Maybe some of you have never heard it before. We're going to talk about any problems or plot holes the story has. Try to fix it up as we go. Just expose how weird folklore gets, really.
And we don't let it get away with its bullshit.
And we don't have a choice this week.
You don't. I could give you a choice, honestly, if you want one.
I kind of do. I'm really not enthusiastic about reading Saddle Slut.
It's not going to be a choice you like, but this is our last time recording all three of us in the same room for the foreseeable and possibly forever future.
It's the last Atlanta recording. By the time you hear this, I will be in Boston, Go Sox.
Netrunner champion of New England.
By then, I hope to be Go Sox.
Should get on those Bruins.
The what?
The Bruins.
And what is that?
The hockey team. They do punches.
Ah, another Boston sports team.
Mm-hmm.
They have more than one.
Yes. Also, the Revolution. Because you love soccer.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I do actually like Atlanta United. We'll see. We'll see if I come around to the Revolution. None of them are Lovecraft themed. not a one of the New England sports teams.
Revolution's pretty boring name for anything New England, and I feel like it's used a lot.
Now,
like, we did that. That was us.
We did it. I mean, yes. Notably, a lot of it did happen around those parts.
Now, can you make a sport with good Lovecraftian energy, and then everyone can be the Fighting Cthulhus or whatever?
I guess. I don't know that I want to watch a Lovecraftian sport because that's going to involve...
Can you just make the battle room from Ender's Game?
A lot of psychological damage, I think. I'd play in a battle room from Ender's Game.
Let me pitch you on this. Competitive noodling that ends in madness.
It's promising. It's a good start.
You noodle Cthulhu up to the surface.
Okay.
Just a squid boy on your arm. Staring insanity into your brain.
Well, yeah.
We're procrastinating to make this special time go longer.
Yeah, as I sit here, I am in Atlanta, but when you hear it, I will be sitting in Boston.
It's time travel shit.
It is, essentially. Okay, so what might we be reading?
So your one option, which you will have to face at some point, is the Greek tale Little Saddle Slut.
Greek?
Yes.
Does that change anything?
No.
You just seemed surprised.
I remember a lot of Greek stories.
Yeah, we've had some good ones. A good crab boy.
And what is the option we're not gonna like?
It is a long option.
Oh, let's not do that.
Princess Kalabati and the Monkey Prince.
Nah. Let's not do the long one. It's already a time.
It's already time o'clock.
It's already time o'clock. It's just going to get later. I don't want to do a long one. Let's do the other one.
All right. Told you would not like your options.
We have an executive producer this week. This week's episode is brought to you by McGregor Yonder Pagode Boyle on the Discord, aka Arn Thompson Type 700 Tom Thumb.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We also have a mail from the very same producer.
What?
This is addressed to the fake folklorist who live in the floor.
Well, I'm offended by that.
You shouldn't be. It's true. Let me undo these really good Marginalia stickers.
I don't think I ever claimed to be a folklore, fake or otherwise. And by a folklore, I meant a folklorist.
I have claimed to be a fake folklorist. That's my whole gig. I'm not real. So this includes a pack of Marginalia stickers.
Wonderful.
A close written note in gorgeous handwriting. I'm not going to read this out loud because it would take a while. And a book called The Folklore of the Sea Islands, South Carolina.
Added to the stack.
It's a really pretty book, and I like how it's very specific.
It's very regionally specific, yes.
But also how much folklore comes from this very specific region.
So it's a little disconcerting.
It's a couple hundred oral tales from the Sea Islands, transcribed 100 years ago as of last month.
And where are the Sea Islands?
Let's junk them up.
South Carolina.
And where exactly are they, is what I meant.
I don't have latitude or longitude. 10 entries are starred that we'll find particularly good, so thank you for that.
You highlighted that juice for us.
And thank you very much for the really cool stickers.
Thank you for the stickers and the book and the note.
And the
patronage.
Yes. Thank you very much. We will reward you with the tale that neither of these two gentlemen ever wanted to hear.
I'm indifferent.
We will reward you with the tale that Gordy never wanted to hear.
This is a dog playing some bagpipes on this sticker.
Yes.
It's pretty good.
It's a solid sticker. All right.
Okay, tell me about this story.
It's Greek. It is suggested by Anne Kristen and sourced from fairytaleswithaz.com. So you know it's hip.
That's a teen site.
Yeah, it's a hoppin' teen sale. So thank you, Anne Kristen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Fairy Tales with a Z.
All right. Do you two have business to take care of before I ruin your business?
Sure, I have a segment. Welcome to Boat Watch, a segment whether I try to guess whether there's a boat in this story or not. That's all there is.
I'm excited for you, Gordy.
For me?
Yeah.
About Boat Watch?
You're about to see a lot more boats in real life than you have before.
Boston being famously near the ocean.
Mm-hmm. It still has tea in it. All these years later.
Still smells of tea. Still coming apart in there, those big bricks of tea they put in. Greek, there's a lot of islands and stuff in Greece, but it's about a woman with a saddle, and that doesn't sound like a boat thing. I don't remember anything else you said.
Well, horses are kind of boats sometimes. Carmen just made a face that says, yes, they are.
I saw it too. my gut reaction was no, but now I'm kind of coming around to yes. As I sit here thinking about it, maybe just because it's in Greece, and Greece is there's just like a lot of room for boats up there.
Go big or go home.
Yeah, you know what? Here, this last Atlanta recording, let's go for yes. There's gonna be a boat.
All right.
And if I'm wrong, then I'll find a way to make me right.
And I will fight it all the way. Do you want to do a segment, Tyler, or are you just going in this?
Give us a segment.
There will be a fist fight.
All right. Fisticuffs Crime Watch.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Little saddle slut.
Can we put a disclaimer about the term here at the beginning.
Yeah, I feel like you've given several over the past couple of weeks.
I know, but like for anybody who might be jumping on to this one for the first time
and skipped the first few minutes of the podcast.
This is an archaic use of this term, which just meant kind of like filthy, slovenly, not in a sexual kind of way, just in a did not do the bathing a lot kind of way.
Yeah, okay. Just so we're all clear.
Should we change it?
To what?
Little Dickens kid.
Yes, I like that much better.
What's the kid from the Peanuts?
Dickens.
Pigpen.
It was written by Charles Dickens.
Little Saddle Pigpen.
Dickens.
Little Saddle Pigpen Dickens. A much more concise and Greek title.
Yeah, very true to the Greek origins.
Once there were three sisters spinning flax.
I think I should ask ahead of time how many of them are TVs.
How many sisters are TVs?
Yes.
I don't think any of them are TVs this time.
Good. That's great to hear.
I don't think they get names, but they're not TVs.
Well, better than nothing, I suppose.
They're spinning flax, which has previously been our code for cyberpunk bullshit.
Yeah, I guess. At least once.
And as they're spinning flax, they just decide that who's ever spindle falls, let's kill and eat her.
Who? What?
They're spinning flax, and they just kind of decide amongst themselves that whoever drops their spindle, let's kill and eat her.
Becomes a death race?
Yeah.
That's a really extreme reaction. I mean, you don't need us to tell you that, but...
Yeah, the story goes from 0 to 100 in sentence one.
How long do you have to spin before you think Russian roulette's a good idea?
I guess your whole life, like, this is all you're doing.
I guess, yeah, maybe if...
You just need to taste some danger.
Like, it depends. It's like if your brain atrophies too much and you just, like, need a way to stimulate it. That's this. Like, everybody has to do something to stimulate their brain, whether it's, like, a secret fight club.
Some people go bungee jumping.
Some people, yeah, I get.
Some like, people kill and eat their siblings.
It's just, these are all ways to live your life, I guess. don't do this, though.
The mother spindle fell, but they left her alone because, like, it's mom.
She wasn't part of the game.
It's just mom. We have a couple of, like, initial reactions to not wanting to eat our own mother.
Did they make her sweat first?
Maybe a bit.
Like, let her think it was about to go down.
Sitting there licking their lips.
They sit down to spin again, and their mother's spindle just kept falling.
She's just doing it on purpose.
Yeah, she's just done.
She doesn't want to be present for when one child is killed and eaten.
She's been spinning for longer than any of them. She'll take the fall just to get out of this flax spinning. All right, so after several spindle drops, they can't really justify not going through with their crazy plan for some reason. Instead of just saying, haha, how fun that goof we did, they said, oh, well, let's eat her now.
Dinner.
And the youngest says, no, eat me if you have to have human flesh.
Like, this is a weird conversation we're having.
It's very gracious, I guess.
But they had made the rules of the game. So they're not going to eat their willing youngest sister. They kill their mom, and they start cooking her for eating.
They do kill the mom.
They do kill the mom. Gave her a few tries, but Mama Butterfingers.
She had a couple momigans.
Gotta fry in butter.
Once a Butterfingers, shame on you. Twice a Butterfingers.
I'm gonna kill and eat you.
Yeah, with butter from your fingers.
I'm gonna butter your fingers. Put butter in between those fingers.
I'm starting to get worried about your possible killing me dreams.
Sticks of butter like Wolverine.
Just shooting out butter.
That the fancy way to prepare that dish.
I want a chef X-Men whose power is that. And they're just like, shing, and then I quickly butter the pan and then stick it back in.
That's butter.
That's not the worst power to have. Like, think about how much money you would save over the course of your life never having to buy butter.
All that, like, butter money.
Like, maybe $70. Butter's not that expensive.
Over the course of your life?
maybe a couple hundred.
Listeners, I want you to really sit down and think about this butter money.
Calculate your butter usage.
You buy 10 sticks of butter every week, right? Most people do that.
Do you?
Yeah.
Most people.
Where do you keep it?
Well, 6 of them you just eat. And then the other 4, one's for a turkey, for a butterball turkey. You need probably even more than that. You probably need 2 sticks of butter to make a good butterball. And then cake, and then toast.
That's
and then
the
you eat
plan.
What's left.
And you get 12 sticks on Halloween.
12 sticks on Halloween.
Two of them are for fangs.
I was going to say I get like 12 boxes on Halloween. I just pass those out instead of candy.
That would be a fun day. You just give out the Land O'Lakes instead of the...
You pull out a big something that's wrapped up, and the kids are like, what's this, a full-size Snickers? Like, even better, full stick of butter.
It really, a stick of butter I have carved into the shape of fingers.
Oh, no.
So here's your butter fingers.
What we're aiming to do is shut down the butter factory on Halloween. Because you want to give out sticks as trick-or-treats, but you also want to just, like, throw sticks of butter at cars and houses and trees.
You want to carve scary faces into a stick of butter and put it on your porch.
And put a candle in it.
Yeah. The fun Halloween pranks.
That's a very long time.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Fun Halloween pranks, like throwing butter. Sticky, wet butter that's just, I guess, going to melt at a car.
In Georgia, it will. Our Halloweens are not that cool.
You go bobbing for butter.
That sounds horrible.
Like, in buttermilk?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I mean, if
or
you...
just regular milk, but you have so much butter in it that it just becomes buttermilk.
I don't think I want to eat any more butter.
We make cows very tired in October.
Oh, no. I don't even know how you get butter out of a cow.
You shake it up real good.
Or like what you do, you churn something.
Yeah, you churn the cow.
You don't churn the cow.
You shake up the cow and then
you churn its excretions.
Have you seen a shake weight?
You put that on the udder directly and then you squeeze out pure uncultured butter.
Well, I was going to say that you stick like a long tube through a cow. And churn it via hydraulics.
That's experimental new farming. Traditional farming is like one of those shaky waste bands that they put on the udders.
If you have it tilted vertically, that's how you get strawberry butter.
I don't understand, but okay.
I don't understand, and I feel like any explanation is going to make it worse.
These are just farm hacks. I'm just dropping knowledge.
Farm hacks. That's a good segment. Do some farm hacks. It's like farm wisdom, but fake.
All right. So they sit down to make a meal, and they call their youngest sister to come eat with them. And she refuses. Instead, sits on a saddle, which their fowls, like chickens and stuff, were covering with filth. So she's like, I'm not going to eat my mom. I'm going to sit in this saddle filled with bird shit instead. These are my options.
You could sit somewhere else.
Probably, but she chooses that.
The youngest?
Yeah, the youngest sits in poop saddle, weeping and upbraiding them for killing and cooking and then serving on their nice china their mom.
Did she just sit on it, or did she announce that she was going to sit on it?
No, she just sat on it.
Okay.
I don't
blame her for being upset.
I don't either.
There must be a better place to mourn.
Maybe you don't pay attention to where you sit down in your grief upon seeing your older siblings consuming your mom after witnessing probably a gruesome and inefficient murder.
Yeah, maybe. Why do they have this shit-splattered saddle inside?
Why are they killing their mom?
Because they agreed to.
Why did
we
that
already
come
heard
up?
Those rules.
Like, this is...
To stimulate the brain because they're all atrophying slowly.
Yeah, this is
doing
the...
nothing but spinning flax. Why did they own this saddle in the first place?
Well, maybe their house is just really nasty. Like,
and that's why they were willing to die.
Yeah, like maybe they just are really bad at taking care of anything, and so murder is their pastime. and they don't clean up their chicken poop, and they let their chickens live inside with them.
Sounds terrible.
I mean, it's not a good situation.
No, it isn't. I guess that is kind of like medieval peasantry, though.
So when they were finished eating their mom, they called the youngest little saddle slut because she was sitting on a filthy saddle and getting filthy with it. And she, little saddle slut, gathers the bones from the kitchen, I guess, and buries them underneath the grate, I guess, in the house, and smokes them with incense for 40 days, and then goes and puts them in, like, she wants to put them in another place, unspecified. Just, like, keeping them close by the saddle for this incense ritual.
Are the murderers really in a position to give out insulting nicknames?
I would think no.
They're not, but I guess
they're going for it.
Yeah, like if you've done this kind of a murder, maybe you're just trying to distract from your own moral inhibitions by calling other people filth monsters while you wipe with a napkin your mom off your face. We should maybe like content warning this one.
For yes.
Reasons that you don't expect.
Yes.
Cannibalism. Please. And matricide.
Just all of it. Poop on saddles.
Cow butter.
But when she lifted the stone, she's astonished to see rays of light instead of the bones that she was expecting. And there are fancy clothes and coins of every kind. So I guess.
What does that mean?
Coins from every country, maybe?
Sacagawea dollar?
Yeah. Future coins.
Challenge coins.
Bitcoins.
It's weird that people nowadays build ships to sink.
Build ships to sink?
Yeah. They're just pre-built to sink.
What do you mean?
Like that.
Huh?
Whatever that service is.
Cash to crypto?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a ship that's sailing the world.
No, it's just not good.
That's a ship that's aiming to be a submarine.
Ugh.
All right, so, yeah, instead of bones, she's got fancy clothes, lots of coins, bitcoins, and it's all glowing a little bit.
Pogs.
So she just puts the grate back over them and leaves them where she found them. And afterwards, her sisters come and they find her sitting on the saddle where I guess she spends her life now. And they jeered at her because that's how she spends her days, sitting in bird poop.
Is the poop a force field that protects her from being murdered by these two sociopaths?
It does probably make her unappetizing.
Yeah, I guess it does ward them off in some sense.
So on Sunday, they went to church, and when they left, she washed and put on the fancy bone clothes that she found. And she takes some gold pieces and bitcoins to the church with her.
To tithe with?
I guess.
That is,
put on your Sunday bones. Tithe with Bitcoin.
God, I don't even know, like, what do you pass around the pews to enable people to pay with cryptocurrencies? Because if it's Bitcoin, like, every person is going to sit there for hours waiting for them to transfer.
I think it's just little cardboard Pepe heads.
Oh, God, no. And those are representative of Bitcoins.
Yeah.
Is that those user bases have a lot of overlap? The frog people and the Bitcoin havers?
I believe so.
You think so?
Is that not the case?
I have no idea.
So when she shows up to church in her kick-ass bone clothes, people are amazed to see this gorgeous, unexplained person because this is basically a Cinderella tale.
Great.
Just worse.
But Greek and terrible.
But they could not gaze long at her because of the brightness of her garments, so I guess those are what was glowing.
Sure.
She's got glowing bone clothes.
Okay.
Like a glow-in-the-dark skeleton costume?
That would be awesome.
That's what I'm picturing.
Can we do that, but like also it's a medieval dress, but just has a glow-in-the-dark skeleton printed on it?
Yes.
That's the most goth thing I've ever heard, and I want it.
Yes. A gift to the goth community.
So people followed her when she left because
they want to see what that's about.
Yeah. It's the coolest new thing this town has seen.
She's loaded with bitcoins.
So she threw gold coins and bitcoins around to distract them. So they're all running and scrambling for the coins. And she goes home and returns to her normal saddle life.
I see that she's played Assassin's Creed before.
She knows.
Is that a tactic you use?
You throw the coins on the ground to cause a commotion so that the guards can't catch you.
Yeah, people like it when they see money on the ground.
So her sisters come home and they brag about their dirt gold. And the next Sunday, the same exact thing happens, except she also loses her shoe and the king's son finds it. So we're not rules of threeing this anymore. We're just skipping straight to shoe.
Also, we're just skipping the part, what happened. What happened, Carmen? Read the story, Carmen.
With the prince?
What do you mean?
Read this.
She goes to church in her fancy glowing bone clothes.
People try and the shoe falls off?
Yeah, people try and follow her. She throws coins, but also loses a shoe in the process.
Is it sticky that day?
Maybe.
She steps in gum, and it comes off, and the prince is there?
Yeah, and he sees it, and he's like, gumshoe, mine.
And he's a foot kid.
He is a foot kid.
A foot kid?
Yeah. I mean, that's been true of all the Cinderella Prince Charming characters.
They like feet?
They're into the feet.
They know a lot about foot sizes.
After making the rounds, they do, at least.
They become into feet after a while.
It grows on them. The idea.
You stare at that many women's feet trying to find your bride, probably some associations start happening.
You are building your fantasy woman from the foot up.
I guess, yeah, you do pay some attention to that area. Man, those shoes would fit a bunch of people, right?
Yeah, I mean, if she's a size 8, that's the majority of your population right there.
Right, like, a lot of people could probably fit into that shoe.
Did you neglect to tell us that she has one enormous foot?
She has one enormous toe.
It's a specialty shoe that has a little, like, an area in the front for her enormous toe so she can get it in there.
And she has her toe curled back most of the day, but it could act as like a slingshot, as a quick escape from an adversary.
She's basically a raptor.
Right.
I was going to say she could just use it as a club.
The toe?
Yes.
Like the Matrix.
All right, so the prince goes to...
What? What now?
Like the Matrix song.
What?
The song from the Matrix?
What song from the Matrix?
The one that people like.
The Rob Zombie song?
Clubbed Foot.
Is that a song in the Matrix soundtrack?
I believe so.
I gotta look this up.
But toe instead was the joke.
Okay.
I thought it was a pretty good one.
I didn't recognize the title.
And people give Tyler kudos if you agree with him. Stroke his ego.
What I want next is a mouse with muscle arms and a trench coat. For the Matrix.
Clubbed.
If you liked that joke.
Clubbed to death?
Yeah, that one. Clubbed to death. There's
clubbed
no toe.
To death?
Yeah, clubbed to death is...
What am I thinking of then?
I don't know. I searched for clubbed foot...
That's
and
a medical condition, I think.
Yeah, there is. That is like a real medical condition. Club to Death is on the Matrix soundtrack.
And I know that song. That is a good song.
It's a very popular song.
I like it. So, Mouse with a Trench Coat, if you liked Tyler's very incorrect joke. So, the prince has found this shoe covered in gum, and he goes to all the women he knows about to try to find who the shoe fits. I like that he starts with women he knows. I was like just hoping that maybe someone he already has rapport with.
It'd be easier.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to make your decision this way, you might as well hope that someone you know.
Instead
Everyone
of a
in this
rando.
Story just kind of makes a decision and sticks to it regardless of how good that decision is on the surface or otherwise.
If it was a man with a dainty foot, would it still be chill? It is Greece, after all.
I mean, it'd be pretty chill.
Back
that'd be
in,
a fun
back
Cinderella
in
story.
Times.
If he was looking for a woman and surprise it's a man and they have a gay wedding
and
together.
They're still down to clown.
Yeah, like he makes this vow and like he gets to know this dude and turns out it's all cool.
And
like,
also
they
were just really into that foot, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, like that foot is just the hottest foot.
Like the fun gay wedding on Arthur. I'm going to try to bring this up a lot. Arthur had a gay wedding on it. And it was great.
I am in the crowd of folks who was surprised that Arthur is still on television.
I was in that crowd too. And I know someone whose like son still watches Arthur, but I kind of thought it was just reruns.
Yeah, that would be my assumption.
I always believed in Arthur. and their capacity to one day have a gay wedding
their
on
capacity
it.
To love.
My new question is, has Arthur been the same age these past 20 years?
Yes, they're trapped in a vortex.
And also, is Arthur on Netflix?
Sure hope so.
That would be a fun...
Sounds like a good binge, actually.
Fun time. All right. So he's running around town trying to find the woman to whom the shoe belongs, and Saddles lets his sisters actually go tell her to go try it on. Like, they say, hey, you should go put your shoe
You go do
that.
It, yucky girl.
And Saddleslet says, well, go away. He's not going to put the shoe on my filthy feet. Don't make fun of me.
I'm covered in shit.
I am half bird poop. Don't make fun of me.
I have no bitcoins to my name.
He gets around to her house, and his servants tell our heroine to come try on the shoe, and she says, don't make fun of me. But she does decide to go down and do it. So she sounds just all kinds of pleasant person to be around.
Saddlefoot.
Just not a lot of confidence. Or feigning non-confidence.
Not a lot of confidence. Just like... Just not a fun person to be... She sounds like an energy vampire.
Before she said anything, and what you knew was that she was covered in shit, did you think she was a fun person to be around?
I mean, not really. She's the morally correct person to be around in her family. But she
when
is.
The options are covered in shit and eat your mom.
Yeah, as the only one who didn't commit cannibalism, yes, she has the moral high ground.
But she,
the options are pink eye forever and eat your mom.
But eat your mom kids are definitely more of the party crowd. She was an energy vampire about not eating her mom too. So like just there are a lot of ways to be against eating your mom. She chose
It's an interesting protest.
Tired one.
To sit.
To be covered in shit.
As a means of protest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate it. But yes, it is a form of protest that I suppose is kind of worked.
So the prince recognizes her immediately.
How? Who? What?
I mean, I guess he paid attention to her face in addition to her feet.
So he saw her leaving and lose the shoe.
Yeah.
But couldn't keep up.
Right.
With a woman with one shoe on.
Yeah.
Running.
At the speed of bird shit.
Okay.
I mean, he's a prince. He doesn't have to do a lot of running outside of the royalty playpen.
Yeah, I guess this is... Like, this is oldie times, so their feet are going to be more accustomed to bare ground than maybe a modern person's. But
yes.
Especially,
still, I feel like that would slow you down.
Especially if she's living in a house with chickens. She probably doesn't have a lot of shoes.
Or her foot is so slick with shit that it's like an additional shoe.
Yeah, it's like a rollerblade.
This is very unpleasant.
It's like a protective casing.
He's used to being carried around everywhere.
Above the chicken shit.
The chicken shoe could stop a bullet. Just deflect bullets like the Matrix.
If she were a boss in a video game, you'd have to shoot all the protective coating off of her first.
Off of her terrible stinky foot.
Slowly break her armor.
So he recognizes her immediately under all the bird shit and says, hey, try on the shoe. So she does, and it fits, and he says, I'm going to marry you. And she says, don't make fun of me.
I'm covered in poop.
Don't make fun of me, so may your youth be happy. And he says, no, I am actually going to marry you.
Get in the car.
And you're mine now. He does this. Marriage happens somehow. We don't get a lot of details.
So the shoe wasn't magic?
No.
It's just shiny.
He just recognized her.
It's just
like,
shiny bones.
You're the one in the cool bone clothes. I want you. But turns out she was not the cool kind of goth, but the sad kind of goth that everyone assumes goths are, even though a lot of them are the cool kind. Alright, so she puts on her fairest robes, probably more bone clothes. There's an uncertain timeline, and she has a kid.
No.
She births a child.
No, mm-hmm. Is there more?
Yeah, we're not done.
But they already got married.
So when her little child is born, her sisters scheme to come see her.
No.
The evil ones?
Yeah. The mom
eaters. The
eat-y
kind?
Yeah. So she is helpless and alone, as I guess a lot of new mother queens are. Like, they're just...
There's no guards?
I mean, we've seen armies? We've seen this happen in other stories. Apparently, when you're a queen, you're just, like, left alone with your babies. And no one cares. Like, you've birthed someone, and you did your job, so bye.
We're getting a dog switcheroo? It's been a while since we've had a dog switcheroo.
Yeah.
As much as these sisters do enjoy making bones out of other things, we do not get a dog switcheroo. They just take her, put her in a chest, and then throw the chest in a river, and the river takes her to a desert.
It's an incredible scheme. Also, I guess we're doing Mario Land now. She just winds up in Sarah Land.
So she is in a desert in a chest, and a half-witted old woman finds the chest, and she's going to cut it for firewood.
Half-witted or half-lidded?
Half-witted.
So she's not baked.
She's not baked.
She's not like a cool skateboard witch.
No, she could be, though. We could rebirth her like that. She's doing cool sand skating. So she's going to cut the chest up for firewood, but when she breaks it up, she finds someone alive in it, and this frightens her because she did not expect that, and runs away. So the princess is left alone in the shards of chest that carried her here. She hears wolves howling, you know, those desert wolves.
Desert wolves.
And also swine and lions, so we got pigs, desert lions, swine. And wolves.
What?
All no. Howling.
No, we can't do it like that.
So she does the standard princess problem solving. She bursts into tears. And then she prays for a hole in the ground so she can put her head in it and not hear the beasts.
A literal sticking your head into the sand.
Cool wishes.
So such a hole appears. Someone's listening to her prayers, and she puts her head in it.
How many more of them wishes you got?
How many bites on her booty does she get from pigs? the evil desert pigs.
I guess she gets a little uncomfortable just having her head in the sand. So she prays for a little larger hole so that she could get in up to her waist.
A little more elbow room.
And then
is she just doing a handstand in the desert now?
Yeah. So that happens.
How many of these wishes does she got?
Well, after both of those whole wishes were fulfilled, she decides to go for the moon, and she prays for a little cabin with everything she wants in it. So we
go
from, head hole,
test the waters a bit,
to waist hole, to magic everything I want cabin.
I will say at least she didn't fall for the sunk cost fallacy and think she needed to keep going down the hole path.
Just get stuck in the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Of whole wishes. All right, so this cabin appears, and she lives there, and whatever she says in the cabin, her bidding is done.
Did she have kids there?
No.
They're dead.
They're just at home. They didn't get shoved in the
schemers.
Chest. I guess.
How did a river end in a desert?
Just, like, chucked her. It was a waterfall, and it just chucked her.
Okay.
Like a catapult waterfall.
You know
how those happen near deserts.
I've heard they're run by pigs.
All right. So, for example, when she wanted to eat, she'd just say, "Come table, come food, come spoons and forks," and all these things would show up, and she'd eat. And when she finished, she asked, "Are you all there?" And they would answer, "We are." And I guess that's the end of the ritual.
Is she the mom of Merlin?
I was gonna say she's. She's like Merlin in Sword in the Stone, the Disney movie.
That has come up 3 times this week. This movie I've not seen in ages.
It's good.
Apparently I need to rewatch it because...
It's all right.
3 times in a week is a sign. All right, so one day the prince, her prince, comes to the wilderness, this desert, to hunt.
He's heard tale of marauding pig bandits in the dunes.
You want some bacon. And he sees the cabin, and he goes to find out who lives here, because it's a building, and he...
In the middle of a desert.
And he basically owns whatever his eyes set on, in standard prince fashion.
The light touches it.
So she recognizes him, and says, "Who is knocking at the door?" And he says, "It is I. Let me in."
No, I who?
Yeah, it was like, Frick knows who I is, but we're not going to give characters names under any circumstances. So this very good intro gets him entrance to her house. So the doors open on she says, open doors, and they open, and he enters, and he goes upstairs, and he finds her seated in a chair, just waiting.
It's like a throne?
I guess. Probably not like a super fancy throne, but she's probably sitting in it like you would sit in a throne. And he says, good day to you. And she welcomes him and says, and when she says welcome, everything that's in the room also cries out welcome, which would probably be terrifying.
That would sound very bad, yes.
I don't want to hear a goddamn thing in this room say welcome to me.
Come chair, she calls, and a chair comes, and she tells the prince to sit down, and he does, and she invites him to stay and dine, and instead of running for the hills like a wise person would, he does.
Does he not recognize her?
No.
Is it because there is no shit?
I think that is a key feature that she is currently missing. So he can recognize this woman he saw once in fancy bone clothes when she is covered in shit in a saddle.
Or
but
is
not,
it,
not his wife.
Is it different shit?
Not his long-lost wife who disappeared one day after childbirth.
Has she started to experiment with lion dookie?
So she calls her food there, and he's amazed at all this stuff. And when the meal was ended, he tries to hide a spoon in his shoe.
Why?
Foot stuff.
Souvenir. She asks the table if it has all of its covers, and it says yes. She asks the spoons if they're all there, and they say,
no!
All here except one, which says, I am in the prince's shoe! So she pretends...
I thought that the spoons would be upset, but they're just happy to help.
Yes. She cries out again as if she hadn't heard that spoon, saying, are you all there, spoons and forks? And the prince got rid of the spoon on the sly and blushed for stealing. And then she says, why do you blush? Don't be afraid. I am your wife. I know that you steal forks all the time.
I know you're a weird spoon kid.
Like, this is a thing we've known about. It's your fetish is spoons and feet.
Remember when we did spoons? I remember spoons.
I remember spoon night.
She told him how she got there and how she had fared, and they hugged and they kissed. And he remembered, I guess, that he had a wife because he didn't seem too, like, broken up about the mom of his kids suddenly going missing if he's off on, like, fun hunts.
How's his memory of children?
So she orders the house to move, and it moved near the town.
Okay.
And all of the world came out to see them.
Yeah, they came out to see these two idiots and not the fantastic magic house that does whatever you want.
I'd pay to spend an hour in there.
The prince gave orders for his wife's sisters to be brought before him, and when they were there, he hewed them to pieces.
No, not this again.
Hewed them?
Yes. He went hunting for pigs. So he had to, like, there had to be bloodshed. Henceforward, they lived happily, and may we live more happily still. The end.
Nobody's doing anything about these pigs in the desert.
I guess it's time to fix this story.
I don't like any of it.
I don't like that the pigs and the lions are working together on something out there that keeps them up all night yelling. And we don't know jack shit about it.
What do you think they might be working on?
A robot. A desert robot.
They found all the Bitcoin and traded it for robot parts.
What, the Thundercats had the cat robots, right?
They did.
And they formed together or no?
Well, no, you're thinking of Voltron.
I know
Thundercats
Voltron
had, like, cat vehicles.
I think Rangers also fused their engines, their animal robots together.
They do, but the Thundercats didn't, right? They just had the lion robots.
I don't think there was fusion. I think there was just cat vehicles.
I can't quite remember.
It was like a cat van and a cat Cadillac.
Yeah, so they could be working on stuff like that, but also some pig versions.
Maybe they use the pigs as fuel.
Is Thundercats just happening in the desert and we missed it?
Yeah. Yeah, the TV show Thundercats was like real life happening around this woman and her whole wishes.
Because I don't know if you all are familiar with Thundercats, but the villain of Thundercats is a mummy named Mumra.
Mm-hmm.
And they're from the desert.
Yes.
Thundercats confirmed.
I mean, yeah, I see where you're... That's kind of what I was thinking in less clear terms, but that's where I was going. Yes, this is Thundercats.
First fix to the story is seeing the action of the Thundercats TV series happening in the distance in the background at all times.
And, like, very faintly hearing the theme song.
Yes. Just subtly enough that you pick up on it, but you're not sure that you're hearing right.
And it's just on repeat so much that she has to stick her head in the sand. And then she does yoga, and she gets a house.
This is another one of those classic folklore problems of why did any of this happen?
Yeah.
Like, why did anyone do anything that they wanted, that they did?
Why did this story start with people eating their mom?
The story started with people spinning flax.
And why did it end with a magic house? What were the bones? What were the coins? I thought it would be like a gift from Ghost Mom. Is Ghost Mom the house?
Maybe Ghost Mom dug the holes. That would tie the story together a little bit better if Ghost Mom were helping her out throughout. I think my first major fix for the story is to make her less of a sad void.
Mine would be more shit.
More?
Yes.
I don't want to go to more.
Just a full body caking.
I'd like to go to less, please.
So that she is not recognizable unless she's in the bone skirt.
Can I sell you on a change?
Sure.
Instead of just being caked in shit, can she be caked in slime from the Nickelodeon shows?
Sure.
Can this just
make
be,
her a swamp thing?
Can this just be a Saturday morning cartoons fairy tale? Like all of them slammed together?
I just don't like it. I knew I wasn't gonna like it, and I don't.
Is it just because of the shit?
No, I don't know. It just doesn't... Why? There's, why is it?
There's a lot of why. Like, who
why
learned...
Why is it?
Who
why
learned
does it?
What?
Yeah, why does it need to happen? Just stay in the house that does what you want.
Like this, I mean, they did.
I know, but like, just start there and stay there and don't leave.
I think the sisters were not punished for eating their mom.
No.
They were punished for throwing the queen in a river.
A thing they did do. It was a good scheme.
And like, they should be punished for that. Probably not capital punishment, but you know, fairy tales, fairy tale law prevails, so that makes sense. But for them to be punished for that, and not see any ill effects from eating their mom, makes the story even more morally dubious than it started.
I mean, I guess that the ill effects were they didn't get coins and dresses.
That they did get coins because they picked them out of the dirt when she threw them behind her.
Yeah, but anybody could have done that. Did they eat the people that were in the way of the coins too?
I mean, they might just carry forks around with them and take bites where they can. Once you eat your mom, do you stop? Like, is that the one piece of cannibalism that you do?
I mean, hopefully.
You would hope, yeah.
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, is it true what they say, that once you taste human meat, you crave it above everything else?
Is that what happened to them, like, before the story opened? Because they do this without a hint of remorse or hesitation.
Yeah, they really just go for that plan.
Like, they do really want to eat somebody. They were only hesitant because mom instead of sister, so there's no, like, love lost between the siblings. But they do try to advance Saddle Slut. Like, they try to get her to put on the shoe.
Yeah.
And marry the prince, but then later they throw her in a river for reasons.
What if none of it happened?
At the end of the story, she has a cupboard full of narcs.
That's true.
Can we utilize them in some way?
A cupboard full of narcs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she gifts a couple of spoons to her sisters, and they just start singing about how they ate their mom one time.
I mean, but she already knows, she knows that.
But the people don't.
They
like if they if they came to princess dinner time.
She needs a confession on tape.
Yeah, in front of the whole village.
The thing is, she doesn't, because They threw her in a box and he hacked them to pieces.
But if he didn't do that, and they just had princess dinner time instead.
Now, she could start using these spoons and forks as espionage tools. Like, you give a gift.
This is what I want.
Of silverware to an opposing kingdom, and
yes,
now you have,
this is a better story.
Now you have one silverware at home that reports on what the other silverware is doing.
Except that the silverware isn't sneaky, it's very loud.
Yeah, it just shouts all the time.
It just shouts incriminating questions at the person holding it.
Like, if you stick it into the back pocket of a king who returns home and starts planning wars, the fork is just going to say, like, I'm sneaking.
Got your plans. So the silverware can communicate with each other telepathically? Is this the notion?
I guess it can't, because all the spoons say that they are there, not that this one isn't. And it's just the spoon that isn't there that's like, oh, I'm over here.
So, okay, hold on. That's even dumber then. Because most of the spoons think it's chill.
Yeah.
They don't even say, like, oh, something's wrong in the spoon cupboard.
We're missing Aunt Myra.
They just say, like, yeah, we're here. Oh, shit, we missed one.
I mean, spoons
like
can't
Kevin
count.
Like Kevin McAllister. That's worth talking about Home Alone again, I guess.
Sure. What if the paint buckets in Home Alone said threatening things as they swung down at the goons?
Or all the traps.
I will take your life, Wet Bandit.
Here's the thing that's not clear, just to bring this back to the story.
Sure.
Like, in the beginning, it's not super clear who is all for the killing and eating plot. And the youngest sister is not against the killing and eating plot. She's just against it being her mom.
It sounds like she assumed she would lose.
I guess maybe. Maybe she's super drops it girl. But, like, would she have been chill if it was one of her douche sisters who dropped it and was eaten? Would she have partaken? Their mom didn't try to stop it. So maybe this whole family's chill with eating each other.
Maybe she got peer pressured into it. And then when it came time to actually do it, she realized it was bad.
What were the sisters going to gain by throwing her in a river?
A kingdom.
A good time for like 20 seconds.
I guess that kid maybe did die.
It's never brought up again.
Yeah.
Sure. Like, could go either way, I guess.
The baby's just there to make her alone and vulnerable, which does support our theory that once queens have babies, everyone just kind of shuts them in a room and pretends they don't exist until that baby can rule a kingdom.
Maybe they just have shards of evil in them.
Glass shards?
From the mirror. And they're just destined to do evil things.
They just want to push people out windows and cook their mom.
I like to believe that the mom egged them on. Like, they said, no, not you, mom. You're so clumsy and old, we're not going to do it.
And she just looks them in the eye and drops her spindle.
Do it, cowards.
Eat me. We just bought more Morton salt. Use our 20 sticks of Halloween butter before it goes bad.
Solved another one.
Please, no more.
Yeah, this one's unfixable.
I think we fixed it.
We sure tried.
Thundercats are there.
Thundercats are there. We got a bunch of talking spoons.
They'll solve it.
And that's okay. That's an improvement, at least.
Talking spoons doing spy work very bad.
So thank you, Anne Kristen, for tormenting Gordy with his tale.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, McGregor Boyle, for supporting our show and for the good book.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to people who have been tweeting about the show and tweeting at us, like at Renegade Karima, Austin, oh boy, Kibarowski. Sorry if I said that wrong. Like Tiffany Tyler, like Stencil OST. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to all of our patrons for making our lives so much better and keeping this show above board. You have tipped us into another tier, so we will be working on new projects once we get all the like new recording situation figured out and settled down. And thank you to our top tier patrons, Sarah, Maya, Frank, Riley, Glutton of All the Foods, Alex, The Ballad of Borborygmus, Danielle, Wyatt, Soapy Foten, Kelty, Olwyn, maybe the one from Fire Emblem, Allie, Crimson, McGregor, Nathan the Scott, Yahweh Yowie, Letitia, April, DPRCM, Noah with a K, The Day Dude, Pyrus, High Listus of Wimbus, Grace Daughter Wimbus, Snufkin with Knife for President 2020, Jeremiah, WT Folklore, but they're boats, Haley, Tim favors a quiet year, even if that brings the Frost Wardens, Dominic, Justin, Lily, Jenna, Jen, and Heather.
You just brought up a great point.
Have I?
We didn't get a ruling on Boat Watch.
That is true.
No
boats.
Did no travel boats.
Over
in
a desert.
A chest in a river. It's a boat.
That's a submarine.
That's a boat. That's a boat.
That's a boat.
She traveled in a river on a wooden craft.
Fine. Just because this is our last recording all together in the same room.
And
fine.
Because it was a boat.
It was a boat. It was made of wood. It floated on water. It's a boat.
That's an entirely reasonable argument.
It's a barely reasonable argument.
It's a makeshift
fine.
Boat, but it is a boat.
No fist fight, as far as I saw.
Yeah, no fist fight. We don't know how they took down the mom.
Maybe that's what she egged them on to do.
Like, they punched her, and that was what tenderized the meat.
That's all.
Thank you always, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, the Neon.
Thank you, the Neon.
Thank you, the Chrome.
Thank you, the Chrome.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, Mother Wimbus.
Thank you, Mother Wimbus.
Thank you, Big Big Rock.
Thank you, Big Big Rock.
Thank you, Perez the Mouse.
Thank you, Perez the Mouse.
Thank you, Thundercats.
Thank you, Thundercats.
Thank you, Spy Spoons.
Thank you, Spy Spoons.
We're What the Folklore. And that's how it works. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she'll live happily ever after. This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to wtfolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.